This is the 365 Message Center show. Let's roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
How's Monday looking over there in the US?
It's looking wonderfully. The birds are chirping. It's looking wonderful. How was your Monday?
Monday was great.
How was the future?
Monday was great. Tuesday's looking even better so far. New Zealand's good. like you, we're having leader debates. We're having all sorts of other stuff. So countries, busy. Lots of stuff being talked about. Lots of stuff being talked about in tech too. Like, it's amazing how many of these announcements that were made at Ignite are actually starting to drop now, and our headline today is one of them. But Daniel, shall we start off with your one?
Yes, sure. I think that would be great. So this is prevent attendees from unmuting in Teams meetings. This is MC223029. This one is something that I think we've needed for a very long time. In fact, I was just on a meeting with 140 people. And as you can imagine, and just right before this show, and as you can imagine, get all sorts of people unmuting or joining the meeting unmuted. They cause a ruckus, you know, to the presenters who think maybe there are someone trying to ask a question, or and other attendees can't hear what's going on. So this update, which is rolling out now, early October, to standard release. There's no going into the targeted release. No, they're just going to roll it out to standard release. And then it's actually coming to government clouds, GCC, GCC High, and DOD, which is Department of Defense here in the U.S., what that stands for, later in October. So you can set this setting up for the meeting before the meeting. So when you go to meeting settings, you're going to see an option there. By default, it's going to be that anyone can unmute, but you can change that for a meeting if you'd like. You could also do it during the meeting in the three dots, you know, the ellipsis up at the top for the meeting options. So the way this is going to work, though, it's a little quirky, I think. So you definitely need to train your users on this, and we need to have some communication around this, because it's not like me as a presenter, only presenters and organizers will then be able to unmute someone, but you won't be able to randomly do this. Meaning, if I'm presenting and I go, oh, I see that John or Sally has joined the meeting, I'd like for them to talk now, so I'm going to go right click on them and unmute them. You can't do that. The user actually has to raise their hand first. So when they raise their hand, yes.
Okay.
When they raise their hand, then an organizer or presenter will be able to go and right click on them and say allow to unmute. That'll be an option for that user once their hand is raised. Then the user has to unmute.
So there's still a something that the person has to do.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've always liked that, the ethical thing of I can't unmute and listen to what's going on in your room.
Yeah, so this is right. I can't unmute you for you. So there's several steps here. But coming later this year, Microsoft will roll out another update that will allow anyone, or allow an organizer or a presenter to unmute anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Not to unmute anyone, to allow anyone to unmute. There's a difference. So without having to raise their hand. And then also there another update that'll be coming is to prevent a single user from unmuting. So if you think about what this setting is doing now, you're going to prevent anyone from unmuting until they raise their hand. You go and right click and say allow to unmute, and then that user can unmute. But in the future, they won't need to raise their hand. You can just go right click on someone and say, hi, let me pick someone, Joanne or Sarah or Suzanne or Phil or Hildy. Say, I'm just picking people in the chat room. You can say, hi, I see that you're in the meeting. I'm going to right click on you. I'd like for you to maybe talk to this, what we've just presented. What do you think about this? Mm. And you could right click on them and say, allow to unmute.
Which I can hear the, it happening within a classroom situation that
most certainly
students aren't necessarily going to raise their hand, and the teacher might want to encourage interaction, just like a presenter or a meeting facilitator might want to.
Most certainly. And then the second update about preventing a single user, think about it this way: as you're in a meeting and someone keeps unmuting and you simply cannot get them to stop it. So you can right click on them and you'll be able to prevent only that user or only a subset of users to not or prevent them from unmuting. So yes, this is great. I think all of these features, I think we've needed this for a while, so it's great to see it rolling out now.
Mm. That unmuting one, it makes people sound like they're really childish. And sure, it probably can happen within a classroom, but it can happen in an adult meeting, because some of our headphones have got little gadgets that mute and unmute, and we tend to bump them or get them squished against keyboards and arms on chairs and stuff, and it's unmute, mute, yeah. Unmute, mute. Oh, who is that? Can you just mute them? No, I can't, because, yeah.
Yeah, mm. Yep. So fantastic. Like I said, rolling out now, and there's some training around, not only for the users, to remember, raise hand before you can even have the option to allow them to unmute, but also you're going to need some training for your organizers and presenters to know that they could set this up before the meeting, which is what I suggest, because oftentimes the biggest disruptions in a meeting is at the beginning when people join in that first 5 minutes or 10 minutes and they don't join with it muted. Although Teams let you know that you should, you know, they still leave it unmuted. So eliminating that disruption is going to be great. And then also for organizers and presenters, of how they can do it when they're already in a meeting. So just a little bit of training there that's needed.
I actually missed that key detail, and I didn't know that someone had to have their hand raised before you as a presenter or facilitator can choose that option. So that's good information. Well done, Daniel.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, what you could probably do with that information and maybe put together some training on this is throw it into OneNote. Mm,
take a note, yeah.
Yeah, take a note of that, and you know, you can access OneNote from plenty of places, right, Daryl?
Yeah, look, I'm more likely to throw it into OneNote, and potentially, if I need to communicate with other people about this, I might be accessing that OneNote from within Outlook. Outlook on the web, to be exact. All right, yeah, very nice, very nice. Good segue. my message, OneNote feed in Outlook for the web, MC223192. Outlook on the web, man, I mean, I think you've been using this for some time more often than the desktop version of Outlook, and I can see why. There's a lot of smart things coming to Outlook on the web. This is where the Outlook, or what's rather, the OneNote feed will be available to view within Outlook, Outlook on the web. And you'll see a mixture of sticky notes and your recent notes or recent note feed that is available. And just like you said, Daniel, in that scenario, that if I was, you know, quickly taking a note while I'm out and about, or I've taken that note that you've said, I've got to adjust my training and add that requirement to have my hand up, then I've got that note in there. And as I go to Outlook on the web, I might want to communicate with my other members of my team that I can drag that sticky note, if it was a sticky, or I could drag that recent note into a message. And there you go. I've got the best of both worlds. I've got somewhere to take my notes and somewhere to reuse them. I feel like that would be quite a useful thing within Teams as well, for those of us who are working a bit more in Teams. But yeah, this is great. I must admit, I don't use sticky notes too often, because OneNote is great as it is and it keeps things in order. I don't feel the need to have that virtual sticky on my desktop. But having those two places where we can take notes, access them from Outlook on the web, and reuse them is great to see. So this is rolling out beginning in late September, so last week, and roll out complete in late October. I haven't seen it yet in Outlook on the web on MySpace, in my tenant. So
MySpace.
No, you'll not see it in MySpace.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what you get when you know, you're not organized very well, and you're sort of charting your way through to a decent comment. Daniel, can you tell us about this? Yes. This next one?
So yes, organizing and charting your way through SharePoint. Organization chart web part. This is MC223018. And this is all about that functionality that everybody wants on their intranet for some reason, which is an organizational chart to see where they fall. I don't 100% understand why people really, really need to see this. But hey, here we are. Apparently they do. It's just like the weather web part. You know, Microsoft released that a first party weather web part.
Yeah.
Why do you need a weather web part? I digress. This is coming in October, so here we are, and should be finished rolling out by mid-October. So there's no targeted tenant release here. This is going straight to standard. I think that's interesting, just like the one about preventing attendees from unmuting in Teams is going straight to standard. So if you're able to edit a page, you'll be able to add this web part to the page, and then you get to determine how many levels in the hierarchy to display in this web part. And you could see it in the message update there, you know, kind of that mock-up of what this will look like. There's a big gotcha here, huge, is that most people who are wanting to use this organizational web part do not actually have the ability in the back end to make this work. What do I mean? You asked me.
What do you mean, Daniel?
You just asked me. The information you have to make an organizational web part work is there's a field in Active Directory called Manager. And if you don't have everyone's manager actually filled in that field within Active Directory, this web part will not work, period. And so most people who are doing this have no capability of making sure that that field is filled in. So if you start using this web part and you notice, wow, the organization looks nothing like it's not coming out the way it should, then you're going to need to contact your IT department. Most likely they're going to have to work with the HR department to get some sort of feed to fill in that manager field. It's not an easy lift for most organizations. So that's why I bring it up, that if you see this and you want to start using it, but it just doesn't work, then that's more than likely why. As well as if you think about it, okay, we dump everybody's manager in, what happens when people get promoted or move into other organization, part of the organization? You're going to need a regular update feed into Active Directory of that manager field. So
yep.
just know that it's not some easy task.
No, it's often missed via small to medium organizations that maybe don't have a very thorough offboarding process or change process. And you'll see the same trouble with the organizational view within Microsoft Teams, when it's relying on a manager and a direct report fields to be filled out correctly. That's where often the people, when we turn this on and they go, no, that was my boss 6 months ago. Or that's not my title.
Or 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
I often get pings about that when people have implemented some sort of organizational chart. Hey, my title isn't that anymore. Mm. It was updated a long time ago. And then you have to go figure out, is it the sync between on-prem and Microsoft 365? Is there, you know, is it broken there? Is the sync between the wherever you're getting the information dump from HR or whatever that system you're using, is that broken? Is the system that HR is using is broken? Like, there's several things that it's complicated. Mm. It's more complicated than it should be. However, that may be very useful. I'm not trying to discourage people from using this, because that manager field can be used by things like Power Automate to do workflows, to escalate things, approvals and such, to say, okay, that user hasn't responded, contact their manager. Well, if that manager field is not filled in correctly, then that won't work either. So it has other impacts. So, you know,
great incentive for keeping your AD up to date.
That is correct. You know, what would really help is some artificial intelligence for this process and other processes, like, I don't know, metadata tagging and such, don't you think?
Yeah, well, imagine being able to fill out a move out change form of sorts, and this sort of thing gets dropped into a list, and then from that list you can update AD, and yeah, that sounds familiar. We have the makings of something like that with the general availability of SharePoint Syntex. This is MC223196. And Syntex, SharePoint Syntex, was a big deal at Microsoft Ignite recently. The first generally available product to come out of the Project Cortex. And we did see about a year ago some of this teased as you could pass some documents through a scanner. The scanner would then be trained, the product of the scanner could be trained to recognize certain fields on the page. And then take that data out and attach it to the document file within a document library. And this is one of the practical uses of it, and it's now available. So we did, at Regarding 365, a rundown of some of the announcements around this and went into a bit of detail. So the link is in the description of this video. And you'll find out a bit more about that. But just to say that now it's generally available, you'll see that it is available to the following SKUs. You know, you can see them on screen for those on the podcast. It's Microsoft 365, F1, F3, E3, E5, A3, A5, Office 365, F3, E1, E3, E5, A1, A3, A5. Were you following along there, Daniel? I should have had like a little bouncing ball there. Almost. Like,
yeah, you should have had a graphic. That, yeah. Just, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it is an add-on. It is something that you will purchase per user per month for $5. And I think that for, you know, organizations that want to make this job a lot easier, the key thing that that was discussed around this is we've tried for so many years to make it easier for people to add metadata to a document, to a file. Now we can use AI to do that, and we can train it. And it means that content will be easier to find, and so on and so forth. So yeah, maybe for organizations that want this feature, it's worth getting this per user per month. Sometimes with these subscriptions or these add-ons, only, like, for example, the advanced communications add-on only needs to be given to a meeting organizer, or similarly with a, let's say, conference call capability to add that through onto your Microsoft Teams meeting. Not everyone has to have that. Not quite sure whether everyone has to have this to be able to benefit from SharePoint Syntex. If I've applied a model to a document library, as someone who has created that model and is getting the AI to do its thing, if someone's consuming that, do they also have to have a Syntex license? We probably need to clarify that. It may actually be the case. But yes, that is available now, beginning of October. So you can go in and get that add-on. And maybe, like, just one way to do it is, you know, get a few and try that out with a proof of concept group, and start creating your models and training a document, specific document that you get a lot of. If it's a form, then it's a great use case, because the type of data in the field is consistent, recognizable. Even the information's in the consistent place on the page. You'd see that, that's a great use for the AI to recognize the data, save the copy of the form, drop in the data that you want to keep into the columns that you've created. Go to it, try it out. And I might even do that myself too. Just if it's $5 a month, then I might just try this out and see within my demo tenant, test tenant. Daniel,
Yes.
if you were going to work on a Word document, do you like do what a lot of people do and just grab the previous version of something and save as and go for it?
I do not.
You don't?
I start from scratch.
You start from scratch. And if you were to start from scratch, would it be helpful to get some design help?
You know, I often think it would be because just like in PowerPoint, where, you can start off a PowerPoint slide deck and just put in the title, and PowerPoint goes, "Oh, let me, I've got some suggestions for you for your design." It would be great to have a designer in Word. Well, guess what, Daryl? MC223444, introducing designer in Word. I'm actually very excited about this. Talk about the rollout time. Targeted release now. It may actually already be in Office application if it's been updated recently. Standard release in early November. This is going to do initially is help you to have a consistent look and feel, and fix some of those inconsistencies with your headers and your title on the page and such. So a little bit of design. But what I'm really excited, and that's great, to be able to make sure, hey, your headings are, you're using the same formatting, one's not bold and the other one's italics, and get all that stuff consistent. But in the future, it will make additional suggestions as well. So I'm really looking forward to that, of how can Word help us using AI, maybe pulling in some information, help us do some quoting, of some information that may be on the web. I mean, you can think about there's some a lot of things, opportunities here that could be happening. What it will do starting right off the bat, which is amazing as well, is really help improve your Word document be accessible using those semantic styles. So for your title and headings, making sure that they're accessible for screen readers and the like, to help people read your document, no matter who they are and how they consume your document. So while this, I think the features for this are kind of small initially with headers and title kind of emphasizing that, I think there's a big opportunity here that they're working on to really bring some additional amazing functionality to this. But so, like I said, Designer in Word is rolling out now for targeted release, targeted tenants, and standard tenants in early November.
Tony's had a good question there about whether design ideas would work with company templates, and I suggest there's probably going to be some guidance around what fields and where things are, a bit like slide masters when you get in behind PowerPoint, that perhaps things need to be in certain positions or identified as a certain field. And if you're following that design guidance, then the designer in Word will say, oh, well, this is how your company wants it to look. So, yeah, you should stop fooling with it.
When PowerPoint initially came out with it, if you remember, you had to be using an out-of-the-box template for Designer to even work in PowerPoint. And then they came out and said, well, as long as you're following these guidelines and your template is using these guidelines, then it will work as well. I would assume that that's what's probably going to happen with Word, is that initially, now again, this is assuming, I haven't played around with it yet. I haven't updated Office yet, so I'm pretty sure I don't have it yet. So I would assume that initially that's what's the way it's going to be. If you've got a crazy template that you're using for your from your company, it may not work initially. But it will, I believe they will get provide some guidance, just like you said, Daryl. So and they'll provide some notifications that you can then, you know, send and put on. Maybe you can post those, the directives of how you could do this in Yammer, you think?
Yeah, well, I probably have a community of people that are interested in this, executive assistants and people that are working with a lot of standard documents, making sure that things have a standard look and feel. Yeah, great use case. And if I were to be in Microsoft Teams using the Communities app and someone in that community app mentioned me, maybe I'd get that notification in Microsoft Teams soon. We're getting better at these segues.
I think so.
Yeah. Notifications coming to Yammer Community Apps in Microsoft Teams, MC223381. And I am excited about this. I don't usually say the super excited phrase much because, yeah, I am, and I am with this one because when I saw the Communities app come out for Yammer in Microsoft Teams, I thought, yeah, okay, yep, we can access Yammer from Teams, we can access Yammer from the Teams mobile app, really, okay, but there were no notifications. It was like, okay, I'm going to have to go in purposefully and check. Oh, well, I'll do that. Not really offering too much over and above going to the web page. This is what closes the loop for me, that if I am in the Communities app, or rather within Microsoft Teams, and someone at mentions me or posts an announcement, then I'm going to know about it within the activity feed of Microsoft Teams. So there's a unification there of the notifications across Yammer and Teams into one feed. So this is a big deal. It's actually really drawing that Yammer loves Teams integration closer together so that people can make use of it in the place that they're currently working. What are your thoughts on this, Daniel?
Yeah, we have this conversation about where we are and how do we get notifications. So do I have to be in Yammer to see notifications? Do I have to be in Teams to see notifications? Because I'm trying to do my work. I'm trying to, you know, move forward and get my work done. I don't want to have to be all over the place to get notifications. And so bringing those notifications in to Teams within, you know, having the Communities app there, I think is great because I can be in Teams and get my, be within Yammer, right? Within the app, I can be within my Teams, having those conversations there. It really will bring us closer to this one space where we can be and be working without having to switch back and forth. Because there is a switching cost when you, okay, I'm leaving Teams to go into browser to get to Yammer, to check up. Has anyone mentioned me? Have I... You know, did anyone like my post? all of that, you know, so I could stay within Teams to do that. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think, and the other thing about this too, it's not just the activity feed, but for those on the podcast, I briefly show during the video the GIF that's within the message sent a message, and it illustrates that the pop-up, the notification bubble that comes up for chats and for other things as well, will also bring in notifications from Yammer. So when you are at mentioned there, or someone's made an announcement in a community you belong to, then you're going to see that pop up as well. It's really good to see. I think, you know, fair point that it's the switching cost. And just before finishing off on that announcement, because it is, where are we? Timing beginning November, and doesn't really say when it might be finished. Activity feed beginning, rollout should complete by end of November. The other advice that they're giving too is you've got your chat app, you've got your Teams app, and they suggest pinning the Communities app underneath that. So you've got that spectrum of private conversations and private group conversations to team conversations and teamwork through to public across your organization. So it's that nice clear spectrum. Did I say that too fast? You looked a bit like, whoa.
Well, I've just lots of words there, Daryl. But I would suggest just people read that notification closely to understand what they're talking about, the suggestions of where to put this. But What you were just saying, that suggestion of, you know, putting chat and then Teams and then, you know, so it's kind of like a hierarchy of your communication, you know, I think that's a great idea. What you were just talking about. So quickly, we wanted to mention a couple of things, right?
Yep.
Just to, I think one is Teams is going to have the ability to appear offline as a new presence status, right? So that's exciting.
Yeah, there was a question or two put out by the community. Would you use it? And it always seems to be a sneaky one. You know, I want to be able to see whether others are online, but I don't want to be available at all because I want to appear offline. I personally use the appear away, or I am busy, or I am do not disturb, so that people know where they stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one I want to mention, which was MC223190, announcing the general availability of double key encryption for Microsoft 365. If you remember, or if you think back, if you have any ear to the security world of Microsoft 365, this is something that's been talked about for a little while, but it's being able to have your own key that Microsoft doesn't even have to your content. And so that's rolling out. The thing I really wanted to mention here, though, in this update is the fact that you have to get started with this process. You actually have to go to GitHub and clone a repository to even start implementing this in your organization. I know what GitHub is. I use it. But for an organization to have to use GitHub to even start doing implementing this double key encryption, I think is ludicrous. I think is ridiculous for you to have to do this for your organization. This should be something that comes straight from Microsoft, not through a through this third party. It's not third party, but through GitHub. It's ridiculous. That's I'm off my soapbox now, but I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, as a security measure, I guess you'd expect that to be there. Another one which we kind of are redressing here, but it's the Teams mobile app's ability to hide previews of notifications. You will see that you've got a message in Teams, but you won't necessarily see the first sentence or so. And that's giving you some privacy if it pops up on your phone. And then there's SharePoint Modern Pages making it easier to add text, which is, I mean, we didn't put it as a main one to go through because all it is, start a page, create a new section, rather than having to add a text box if that's your first action, it will already be there. And we see that in a number of these different block editors available for content management, you know, services or content management.
Yep.
CMS. No, it's not that. I'm thinking of editors. Anyway, forget that. Right. I've had so much MS Ignite acronyms in my ears that I've lost my way. Thank you everyone for tuning in and for the 165th episode of the 365 Mercy Center show. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.